Lisa Lanier is our official attorney of the Two Guys Named Chris show. You can find her at LanierLawGroup.com or HireAHeavyweight.com. At this time every week, we do something called Lawyer Up, and we bring Lisa Lanier in. Lisa, I hope you're doing well. How are you?
I am fantastic. I hope you guys are.
There's one more for the docket, too. We haven't even previewed with you. It just came up earlier on today's program. Now, Biggie and Red Rachel are both renters of homes, so they were passionate about this. Apparently, a couple went out of town. They rent a home, and they told their landlord, hey, we need a little bit of repair work done. We'll be out of town for the weekend, so it's a good time to do it. And they had a dead bird in their attic, and the landlord said, no problem. I'll come do the repairs, and I'll get rid of the dead bird, and I'll do it while you're gone. They were visiting a sick relative back where they're from, hours away. Well, while they're gone, they see on video camera, oh, the landlord's there. Somebody's there. They check the camera and are surprised to see the landlord rogering his wife hard.
Right in front of the camera.
Right.
Like, it's almost like he knew it was there.
And later, standing in their kitchen, nude, making a sandwich. It's their food. It's their bread. It's their ham. Okay, it's their mayonnaise.
Oh, they're not a Duke's family.
Yeah,
they have helmets.
They're helmets.
Oh, that's the worst. Yeah, you got to be a Duke's family. And what kind of weird landlord kink is this? I've never even heard of that.
I know.
Well, no? I know. You know, Rachel was on one side and I was on the other, believe it or not. I think it's egregious and an overstep. Rachel said, keep it spicy.
And the heart wants what it wants. She did.
Keeps entertaining, right?
She did. She said that.
No, so the landlord clearly exceeded the permission, you know, of being in the house. And typically, like, let's say, you know, that the tenant had not invited the landlord in because of the repairs and the dead bird, but they just, you know, if the landlord just happened to see that they were out of town and did this, that could actually be burglary and trespassing. Because when you rent a property, you have a right of quiet enjoyment, is what it's called under the law, and you have exclusive possession. The landlord can enter to make repairs, but it's considered, you know, exclusive to that purpose, and they should communicate with you about it. Here, they came in to make a repair, supposedly, but they exceeded that, and they, you know, they ate their food, and they, you know, had sex in their house, and so, yeah, it's probably not something that the police would charge them with. Now, they might if they didn't have the repair issue going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there'll be any charges coming out of it, but it's definitely, you know, it exceeds the permission that they were given, and so by the letter of the law, it is definitely illegal to do that.
Well, that was our question. Okay. Has he broken any laws? And the answer is yes, he has broken laws.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, he did not have permission to eat their food mm-hmm. or have sex in their house.
Mm-hmm.
And did he even make the repair? Do we know that?
He said he did.
Yeah.
He said, yeah,
I bet he had to be reminded. He's like, what were we in here for? Oh, that dead bird in repair.
Dead bird's gone, and he and the wife had a great time on the sofa. Not his sofa.
Oh, no.
Not his ham.
Right, that's disgusting. And, you know, you don't want to now sit on that sofa that somebody else has, you know, had their body fluids on. Ugh.
Well, Rachel said the heart wants what it wants.
Yeah.
That was her take on it. Like, keep things spicy.
Yeah.
Landlord kink. Exactly. The next story comes from California and involves this jingle.
1-877 cars for kids. KARS cars for kids.
Don't know if you've heard it before, but it's for a charity, Cars for Kids. A judge, a lawsuit took place, and a judge has ruled it'll no longer be allowed on radio or television in California. Can you explain it, Lisa, why this jingle and this charity is in some trouble with the law? What do you think?
Yeah, apparently this is a really well-known jingle and charity in certain states where they've operated. This is not their first trouble with the law. They back in 2009, they were sued by the state of Oregon, and similar outcome was found that what they're doing is they're accused of false advertising and defrauding donors because you donate your car.
Yes.
And your belief is that the proceeds are kind of generally dispersed to underprivileged kids, assuming that there's are going to be kids in your area, right?
Right.
But what's really happening with the money is that it's being funneled to a second nonprofit that is that's basically an Orthodox Jewish program in New York and the Middle East. And so it's not going local to California or Oregon, and it's not going to kids in your area. And I'm not even sure if it's going to kids at all. It's going to this Orthodox Jewish program in New York and the Middle East. So big time fraud, big time false advertising. They're now facing a class action lawsuit in California, and I think they have more trouble on the horizon.
Is that wrong? Wow. You're not supposed to do that.
You're telling me those cars aren't for kids?
What? I mean, it does say cars for kids.
It's obvious, right? It's such a no-brainer. Right?
Oh, my God.
The real crime is the jingle, though.
You know, the jingle.
Yeah, don't tell me you love it.
I'm going to sing it the rest of the day.
I don't love it, but it gets in your head. Yeah. It is one that is an earworm. You know, when I used to drive my 1998 Acura, and people would say to me, what are you going to do with that Acura eventually? Biggie would start singing that jingle. Cars for kids.
But I didn't know the Acura would end up in the Middle East.
Is the Acura in the Middle East? Oh, my God. That is wrong. That, you know, and when I would hear that jingle, it goes to show the power of a good jingle. I thought, well, that's a great organization.
100%.
Look what they're doing. 100%.
I never questioned it.
No.
You were fooled by the good jingle.
Apparently I was. Yeah, I never questioned it either.
Oh, this great organization. You get their cars for kids.
Not one bit that I question. On the other side of the country now, in New York, two stories from there, both involving on-street accidents. A construction worker in Queens is suing a company that makes portable toilets. He was in a porta potty that tipped over, launching him onto the concrete at a job site in Times Square. His name is Steve Gressy. And he says the defective toilet caused serious injury and destroyed any chance of intimacy with his wife. Apparently, it was placed improperly. We had people call when we originally talked about this story saying, there's no way those things can blow over. They have to be improperly installed if they tip. This guy probably is going to win a lawsuit, don't you think, Lisa?
Yeah, he definitely will. I mean, there's no way you can expect. And he was in there, you know, I think seated, you know,
with
his pants down.
Yep.
And so, you know, there's been this big piece of his claim, this allegation that's gone really viral, where he says his sex life, you know, is harmed. He doesn't say exactly the details about that, but I would presume it had something to do with his sort of, you know, face planting naked onto the concrete. I don't know. But, and can you imagine all of the sewage that spilled out of that thing?
Yeah.
Well, my thought was his unit permanently dyed blue?
His wife won't touch it.
She won't.
Yeah.
His wife won't even.
She says I'm a Smurf, Your Honor.
She can't look at it. God. It's possible.
Yeah.
You can't get that off.
Dude, that blue stuff gets on you.
God.
No.
That is terrible. Awful. I was wondering, and I don't know the answer either. Was it his unit because he was naked from the waist down?
Yeah, I wondered. I mean, I wondered, like, is that why the penis took the hit? Because he was sitting there naked and he face planted on it or something. I don't know.
Or did he smash his head? That was my next thought, and that's caused problems.
Yeah.
You know, because that does happen sometimes. What was it? Just placed on a curb? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think it was too close to the edge of the curb, and it tipped over into basically the street. Can you imagine you're in Times Square, New York, you're walking by, and this guy falls out of the porta potty?
God.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. And you're right, that river of blue and that sewage comes spilling out on top of you.
Disgusting.
The embarrassment. Yeah. What kind of money do you expect in something like that from a portable toilet company?
You know, it really depends on his injury. I mean, you know, is his injury, you know, is it a back injury? Is it a head injury? Did he really have some kind of penile injury? We don't know. There's no details forthcoming about that. But he'll get paid, you know. It definitely. And he was on the job, so he's going to get workers' comp. Yeah. And then he's going to get this third-party claim against the porta-potty company. He's also sued the general contractor that hired the porta-potty to be there. So he's named everybody. What you need to do. And what will happen is when he gets his third-party recovery against the porta potty, he will have to pay back workers' comp, but he'll still come out ahead.
Absolutely.